Sunday the 23rd of April 2017, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Purpose Driven Life. Sermon title, Made for Mission. Bible reading, John chapter 17, verses 6 to 19. Talk by Reverend Christine Harding.
The reading is taken from the book, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 17, verses 6 to 19. I have revealed to you those who you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you should take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Julian, for reading God's word for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that the words that I speak will be your words. Will you anoint us with your Holy Spirit, open our minds and our hearts so that we can receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friend was coming out of church one day and the vicar was standing at the door, as he always does, to shake hands. He grabbed my friend by the hand and pulled him aside, saying to him, "You need to join the army of the Lord." My friend replied, "I'm already in the army of the Lord." So the vicar replied, "How come I don't see you except at Christmas and Easter?" "Ah, well," he whispered back, "I'm in the Secret Service." Are we in the Secret Service or on a mission for God? Our Bible reading comes from John's Gospel, and it's from the prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples on the last evening before his death. It is virtually the last thing Jesus does before his arrest in Gethsemane. It's clear that this is a prayer not only for those who followed Jesus all those years ago, but also for his followers today, which includes you and me. We are those whom God the Father has given to Jesus, those who belong to God and those whom Jesus asks his Father to protect and consecrate. In this section, Made for Mission, Rick Warren, in his book, makes it clear that we were created for mission. Not any mission, but God's mission. Think of it, if you like, as God has put the future of the world in our hands. You and I have been given the responsibility of sharing the good news, and that will determine the eternal destiny of all mankind. In the Great Commission, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This commission was given to every follower of Jesus, not just to clergy, missionaries and church leaders, but to all believers. It is not an optional or a great suggestion. It is mandatory if we claim to be followers of Jesus. Rick does not pull any punches when he goes on to say, to ignore it would be disobedience, and that God holds us responsible for the unbelievers who live around us. The Bible clearly says in Ezekiel 3:18 from the Message translation, you must warn them so they may live. If you don't speak out to warn the wicked to stop their evil ways, they will die in their sin. But I will hold you responsible for their death. Harsh words, but ones that I hope will encourage us to share the good news of the gospel, because we might be the only Christian that people might know. And if we don't tell them about Jesus, who will? We have been given this wonderful and exciting mission to share Jesus with those whom we meet, whether that is with family and friends or strangers and work colleagues. It's our mission. I wonder how many folks have we told about the Alpha course or invited people to it. If everyone invited one non-Christian, just imagine the opportunity that we would be giving them to discover for themselves God's salvation. It's our mission to invite them. As I said earlier, it's not a suggestion by God, but a mandatory response to his love. Our reading from John's Gospel shows that Jesus undoubtedly loves us, and he distinguishes his disciples from what he calls the world. When Jesus prayed for us, he did not ask God to take us out of the world, but to use us in the world, a mission given and prayed for by Jesus, so that we would be equipped to carry on his work here on earth until he returns. Therefore, what distinguishes his disciples from the world is very simple. They belong to Jesus and do not belong to the world. They don't conform to the world's values. Their ultimate loyalties are to Jesus and his saving work on the cross. They don't bow down to the idols the world worships, but only to Jesus, which should be our desire to continue with his plan for humanity. We have this wonderful, exciting and huge privilege to be entrusted with God's mission, to carry on with Jesus' work. We get to partner with God in the building of his kingdom. Paul calls us co-laborers and says we are workers together with God. Jesus has secured our salvation, put us in his family, given us his spirit, and then made us his agents in the world, telling others how they too can have eternal life is the greatest gift any of us can give them, because people both need and want to hear the good news of the gospel. When Timothy first joined the army, he was so excited. He knew he was fighting an important war. Above all, his heart thrilled at the thought of serving underneath his captain, the one who had saved his life and enlisted him in his army. His enthusiasm bubbled over into everything he did and to everyone he met. Whatever task he was assigned, Timothy attacked it with joy and enthusiasm. He might not see how, but he knew the drills and tasks before him were all part of an important war. Otherwise, the captain wouldn't have assigned them. He knew that after the war ended, the captain would take them all to live in the new kingdom together. When other soldiers annoyed him, Timothy let their words fall off his shoulders. His enemy would like nothing more than to get them to waste their energies in anger at each other. You could say Timothy was a soldier with a mission. He knew why he was there, whom he was serving, and where he was going. And he let that knowledge put a joy and delight into everything he did. But as the weeks went by, Timothy gradually lost sight of the big picture. He, like so many of his fellow soldiers, got caught up in just making it from day to day. He began allowing other soldiers' comments to irritate him. Worse still, he began being critical of others. Timothy was no longer a soldier with a mission. One day, Timothy bumped into another soldier named Zach. Zach was struggling with a lack of joy and asked Timothy for advice. Timothy tried to help, but his words sounded hollow because he had lost his own joy. His conversation with Jack caused Timothy to remember the big picture and why he had enlisted in the first place. He remembered what the captain had done and promised to do for them. He began praising in his heart again instead of complaining. Slowly but surely, he remembered why he was there, whom he was serving, and where he was going. And as he did, his zeal and joy returned. There was no need to just make it through the day. Once again, he was a soldier with a mission. I wonder, does any part of this story resonate within us? Are we still as excited and full of joy and zeal to tell others about our captain Jesus and what he has done for us? Do we remember why we enlisted into Jesus' army in the first place, being prepared to serve him as soldiers of the cross? We have just sung, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. We are his soldiers. Do we lift his banner high or hide it away? In Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, 16, it talks about not putting a lamp under a bowl, but on its stand so that everyone can see it, because when the light of Jesus illuminates us, we must share that light with others. It's our mission to show the light of Jesus through words and actions. Our witness for Jesus should be public, not hidden, because light is to be revealed and not concealed. It is no use if we keep the benefits of knowing the difference that Jesus has made in our lives to ourselves. We must be willing and ready to share the love of Jesus, because our mission has eternal significance, impacting the internal destiny of other people. It's more important than any other job, achievement, or goal. Nothing else that we will ever do will matter as much as helping people establish an eternal relationship with God. The clock is ticking down on our life's mission. So don't delay. Get started on your mission of reaching others, because your mission gives your life meaning. William James said, the best use of life is to spend it for something that outlasts it. The truth is that only the kingdom of God is going to last, because everything else we have will eventually perish. God has given us life for a purpose, and that is to reach others and tell them about Jesus. There are people on this planet whom you will be able to reach because of where you live, work, or commute on a daily basis. You might be the person whom God has sent to a particular person in a particular place at a particular time to bring that person into God's kingdom. If just one person will be in heaven because of you, your life will have made a difference for eternity. I know that when I have stepped out in faith, God has never failed to turn up, and I have had some amazing opportunities, although there have been times when people have listened but not agreed with what I was saying. But that's okay, because it's not our job to convert, but to share Jesus with others. So next time you find yourself in a situation, try and use it. If you're not sure what to say, why not invite them to one of the many activities that go on in church, like coffee shop, craft afternoon, knit and natter, table tennis, MCC, or social events. These are all non-threatening events. Or even better, come with them. Or dare I even suggest that you invite them to a church service. There is a story about God speaking to one of his angels about humans. He tells the angel about how he gave the humans the good news to share with each other so that more people would become a part of God's family. The angel asked God what plan B was if the humans didn't share the good news. God's answer was, there is no plan B. We are God's plan A, his mission field. Don't be looking around for someone else to do the work that God has called you to do. Jesus requires total dedication, not half measures. We cannot serve him selectively. We have to accept the cross along with the crown. God gave Jesus a mission to redeem humanity from Satan and reconcile them back to himself. We are an important part of that mission. We were made for mission. And our responsibility is to fulfill the five purposes for which we were created. And they are to love God, to be a part of God's family, to become like God, to serve God, and to tell others about God. There are no ifs, buts, or maybes, because once we become followers of Jesus, he uses us to reach others for these five purposes. He has saved us, and now he sends us out. The Bible says we have been sent to speak for Christ. We are the messengers of God's love and purposes to the world. The night before Jesus was crucified, he reported to his Father, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Will we be able to say that at the end of our lives? Because it's what you and I were created to do, and it should be our life's goal. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have given each of us a mission. Father, help us to be bold. Give us the words to say. Give us the strength where that is needed. Father, help us to be the people that you have called us to be. By the power of your Holy Spirit, come now and show us. In Jesus' name, amen.